This is a HeadGum Podcast.
We are recording.
Okay, now we have to have pre-show banter.
We don't have to.
Blah, blah, blah. I don't have anything to say.
Was that? Blah, blah, blah. What sound is that?
It's like what people sound like when they're talking.
Is that what people sound like to you when they're talking? Are you? Yeah. Everyone's the parents from Charlie Brown.
Blah, 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 blah. Whenever I zone out and someone's talking, that's all I hear. If I'm in LA, it's like, and I'm like, so, why is everyone mad? They're always mad.
Probably because you're not paying attention to them.
Oh.
Should
we start the show?
Might be it. Hello, Punch Claude Van Jams, and welcome to Punch Up the Van Jam.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thank you.
My name's Miel.
My name's not. What do we do on this podcast, Miel?
Oh, well, today, I'm just going to say right now, I already know you read the title and you were like, fuck you.
Every week, people just like, but this one's unpunchable. And I'm like, you got to start picking up what we're doing here.
I don't know anymore what's happening.
I feel like it's just we pick a song to talk about and then we just do something with it. It's not necessarily us going, this song is bad and we need to fix it. And every time people tweet that at us, I'm like, it's been like 40 weeks of this. You got to at some point be like, okay.
It's been more.
Just of us doing songs where it's like, well, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. No, we exhausted the objectively bad ones pretty quickly.
I don't think any of them were objectively bad. Our fourth one was a very good song.
Some art is objectively bad, and everyone agrees.
I do agree about that.
Speaking of art, should we introduce our guest?
Yes.
Hi. You know her from YouTube. Her upcoming album, Oh Wow, drops tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Julia News. You weren't expecting that, were you?
No! That felt great.
Right?
I'm so excited you're here, not only because the timing of this is perfect for your album coming out literally tomorrow.
I am a straight-up fill-in, and it's the perfect timing.
Well, it's so tricky with the Patreon pick songs, because usually the guests pick the songs.
Mm.
So I just scrambled to be like, who's a tight person that can talk about anything? And I was like, Julia, of course!
Can we say the name of the song yet?
Of course!
Yeah. Okay, you picked Feel Good Inc.
Patrons did. Yes.
And then you texted me about that, and my record that's coming out tomorrow, the first track is called Feels Good.
Oh my God.
Well,
which is actually the lyric.
Oh my God. And
it's
you
crazy.
It to me and it slaps. That beat is crazy.
Thank you.
It
my producer
like
nailed it.
It's so good, dude. I'm so excited to hear the rest of this.
She's wild. Her name is Shruti Kumar, and I just want to talk. I want to say her name every chance I get.
Okay. Shruti Kumar. Also, on top of the timing of this, I'm so excited you're here because you're an actual musician and also you're funny.
Thanks.
Have we had any predominantly like musicians first and foremost on the show ever yet?
Arguably, but also no.
Have like, you ever had any funny people on the show?
No.
Still hoping.
That's good. Yeah.
That's good. Low bar. I can handle it.
Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on. Do you have any, and I know this is a reach, connection to the Skrilla song?
Yeah. It was like definitely an era defining song.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did it come out?
2005, I believe.
Yeah, that's like, I'm in high school. I am like not far enough out to think of life beyond high school.
No.
So it's just everything in my world. And this song comes out and it's like everyone is walking to that beat. Everyone exists.
We all felt cooler because of it.
Yeah.
I felt so cool.
I feel like I was always like, this song is weird and that's cool. But the more that I think about it, I was always just kind of like, I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I don't think I like it, but I don't hate it.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. So you feel just neutral about it?
I feel totally neutral about this song. It just existed around me, and I was like, yeah. And then every other Gorilla song I've ever heard, I've been like, that's pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought it slapped so hard, and gotta be honest, reviewing it to do this, I still think it slaps.
I still feel so, like, it's not even neutral as much as it is just like, it's not up or down. It's just like, I feel left about this song. And then I feel right about this part of this. It's like, I just don't feel any concrete emotion. It's just like, what is this song?
It washed over you.
Yeah.
Like a fad that came and went.
Exactly. Like I was always like, I don't know what these lyrics are. And I was like, this beat is kind of catchy, but it seems like it doesn't change much. And it really doesn't. But
when you make something that slaps so hard, I mean, you got to do it to them, you know? Could you hear my throat go?
That was equally as nothing as the lyrics are.
Yeah, that's why my throat was like, stop talking, stop. You're saying nothing. I do have a couple notes about it. This is the Gorillaz with a Z. If you don't know, they are a virtual band.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What an era, right?
Yeah.
2005, we were like, we need to feel like we're living in the future, and the future is fucking 2005.
No humans.
No, it's the guy from Blur. His name is Damon Albarn. And then the guy that made Tank Girl, the comic.
Woman.
It is?
Oh, wait, no, you're right. Jamie Hewlett. Yeah, sorry.
I'm pretty sure it's a dude. So they got together and made this band in 1998. They have like four band members, but they're not real. They're cartoons named 2D, Murdoch, Noodle, and Russell. Russell has a normal name. Russell Hobbs. They all have last names, by the way.
Man, when they came up with that too, they were like, Russell. For sure.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, it's all very tongue-in-cheek, and I feel like usually this kind of stuff really rubs me the wrong way, but for some reason, this one I really like. I'm like, this works for me. This is funny. It's cool. It's modern. It really, the commentary works for me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like with Gorillaz, I've always liked the way that they have turned those virtual characters into like actual things. Like they have a lot of videos that aren't like music videos or anything where they just exist.
Yeah.
And it's so strange to me. And they put so much work into it. That I'm like, why do you have this entire thing around it? There was a point in which they had a movie planned for it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I think Harvey Weinstein was involved at one point.
I wonder why that didn't get off the ground.
That's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
I also feel like they've done interviews with real people when the cartoons are being interviewed.
Whoa.
I just saw that. I was like, wow, this is so expensive.
Also, who are the voices for the cartoons?
I don't know if they stay the same. I know that Noodle is like a Japanese woman, I think. But otherwise, I don't know.
The musician Noodle is not a Japanese woman?
Well, the musicians, I think, constantly change except for Albarn.
Oh, see, that's why it's so genius. You don't have to have anyone in place besides the animator.
Exactly. And he's not constricted to one genre. I grabbed this just because I thought it was so funny. It says writers and critics have variously described Gorillaz music as, are you ready for this list of genres? Alternative rock, art pop, hip hop, pop, trip hop, electronica, electronic, bedroom pop, dark pop, indie rock, alternative hip hop, rap rock, lo-fi, electropop, dance rock, dub, world, and world beat.
Oh, God.
Which one is it?
It's pretty much just like anything you can play with a guitar and then someone else.
Yeah, and then maybe like a bass line.
Yeah.
It says it's described as postmodern.
Even this song was picked on our Patreon because we did a selection of indie songs, and this is technically indie.
It is?
Yeah, that's how we did the whole thing.
I forgot I was under the umbrella of indie.
Yeah.
Why did we decide this was indie? I don't remember.
Because it's labeled as an indie. Wikipedia, the list you just read from included indie.
Did they have another huge song? Did they do another
Clint
like...
Clint Eastwood was pretty big. I ain't happy. I'm feeling bad. I got
and then they
sunshine.
Had that. I got the shoe. I got the shoe shine.
I have no idea what that is.
I got the shoe.
No idea.
No, that's cool.
They had a lot of singles off that album Plastic Beach, which I think is near unpunchable. There was a fucking super fast. There was Stylo. There was.
What was the one that was like?
You're gonna have to sing all of these.
Oh, Rhinestone Eyes?
The one, it was one word. He's like, Thyme. It was like a British guy.
Thyme. I don't know.
What's the word? I'll find it.
Rhinestone Eyes was a song that, like, last year was my top listened to song on Spotify.
Oh my God, you love the Gorillaz.
I love Plastic Beach specifically.
He says, Dare.
I don't know what song
you guys
that
know
is.
That song, Dare.
Oh, it's called Dare.
Yeah, but he's got, like, a really intense British accent.
Oh.
He's like, Duh. It sounds like a, I don't know, like a song that would be in like a cocaine sequence of a modern blockbuster.
Maybe it would be.
I get why they have so many genre labels. Okay, about this song specifically, it features De La Soul. That's who's rapping and laughing on it, I
Hell
presume.
Yeah.
I guess that laugh at the beginning is actually authentic. We'll listen to it in a second, but he says when De La Soul arrived, they were messing around trying to make each other laugh. Fortunately, we recorded that. And
what?
That's how you got the crazy sounding laugh that you hear on the track. The whole thing worked amazingly, but most of it was on accident.
I mean, thank God. I don't want to picture someone just sitting there dryly going,
yeah.
All right, let me try that one more time.
Although it also just...
No, that sounds terrible.
I do. That's funny.
It feels so much like a, like, performative evil laugh that I, it's crazy to me that this was just an accident.
It sounds so much like David Bowie to me. I can't get over
it. Oh, yeah. It really does.
Guys, listen to All Fantasy Everything. It was highly regarded and critically acclaimed. It peaked at number 2 in the UK, 14 in the US, and it made the top 10 in 17 other countries. Everybody fucking loved this song. Listed in Pitchfork and Rolling Stone's Best Songs of the 2000s, it won Best Pop Collaboration at the 2006 Grammys, and I didn't know this, but fucking Danger Mouse produced it.
Oh, dang.
Damn.
Explains why it sounds
How do you peak at 14 and be the kind of song, like, I don't think there's anyone I could stop that's our age on the street and be like, do you know the song that goes, dun, 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 dun.
Feel good.
That, like,
was this, like, at the height of, like, the Napster era, where it's like, everyone had it, but people weren't buying it,
2005?
Maybe?
I think we were into iTunes by then.
Oh, okay.
I remember doing some 30-second samples at that point.
Maybe it was just, like, ubiquitous.
Deep cuts.
That almost just flew right by.
You don't remember listening to an album to see if you wanted to buy it first by playing 30 seconds?
Yeah, they still have that.
But yeah.
They just announced they're shutting down iTunes.
Right.
Can you believe it?
What?
Well, as of recording,
they're just like splitting. They're splitting it into like separate stores for each individual type of media, which is fucking weird.
Whoa.
Yeah. Medium. But anyway.
And that, literally, that's all notes I had. That's all.
I feel like it might have been the kind of song where it's like it played everywhere for so long that people didn't buy it. It was just like ubiquitous. Like I don't think I ever owned this song.
How long was it 14 for? Can we know that? Because it was it 2 years? Because that would make sense to me.
I don't think so. I think that songs like this have a hard time charting with like a mainstream audience.
Yeah, that's true.
Just because like my mom isn't probably, well, actually my mom is going to love this song, but like my friends' moms, I feel like take a vote. Most of them would be like, not for me.
Right.
Right.
My grandpa? Maybe. Probably not.
I'm siding with the moms on this one.
Not for you?
Not for me. It's like, I'm fine with the song. I don't hate it, but I also just don't feel like anything when
you
I listen to this.
You abstain from feeling?
I think it's the way that he sings, too. He's like, city's breaking down.
Oh, I love it.
I'm just like, it feels like a weird poetry to me, and I'm just kind of like, just give me just the rapping verses, but then those don't make sense. And it's all just like a mishmash of me going, what are we doing here?
Well, let's fucking get into it, dude.
All right,
let's listen to it.
Yeah. How close was he to the mic that that's how it...
I know that that's... I think that they have that cool thing some albums do where the songs segue into each other.
Yeah.
So I think that that's the end of Dirty Harry going into this, right? That's what that little sound was at the top.
I guess so.
Also, in like the 10 minutes we've been recording, Miel is given like 5 of those laughs.
Yeah.
Laughs.
I can't do that. This is, Julia, kind of my thing. I just shriek and I pretend like it's normal. This is what laughing sounds like out of my mouth. Deal with it. Okay, and then we get that big beat drop after he loudly announces, you're about to have some fun. What's he saying?
Sha, shabba, shaka, shabba. Sha, shabba, shaka, shabba. Sha, shabba, shaka, shabba.
And then he changes it, right? He say change.
Is that what he's saying?
Change, 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 change.
Okay, I had the isolated vocals. I was like, he's saying chine, chine.
Change, change, change. You gotta remember, he's from
chine,
England.
Chine. Shine.
He's saying change, I think, very tongue-in-cheekly to be like subliminal messaging, because that's what the song's about, right? So he's actually just using it.
I was just listening to the explanation. I have no clue what he's doing at any point in this song, to be honest.
I feel like it's like this fucking art piece under the guise of like a earworm.
Yeah.
Am I giving it too much credit?
I mean, I feel like that he definitely thought a lot about it. Although I did read somewhere on the Genius page that every time he sings this live, their lyrics have changed. So it's just like he just wrote some shit and was like, well, this will do.
Do you guys remember the song The Hook by Blues Travelers?
Oh, cause the hook. Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically the same concept of like all you need is this dumb little part and it'll bring you right back into the song and nothing else matters.
Easily,
no other words.
It's the most cynical song of all time.
Exactly.
But it's kind of true.
Yeah.
It's kind of true.
It works on me.
Not a single person knows what the lyrics of Feels Good are. Feel good.
Yeah. Feels good. That's actually your song. That's yeah, are you doing some little messaging on us right now? Oopsies. Okay, so shabada, shabada, shababa, baba, change.
Buy your album.
Buy your album.
Buy your album.
Buy your album.
Yeah. Sha, shaba, shaka, shaba, feel good.
Change.
Yes, change, 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 change.
Okay, change it.
All right.
Oh, he's far away.
It's good. Those sounds are so nice.
I want to hear that.
You want to hear that isolated?
Was that like a synth? Please. What was that?
I have no clue.
Like a fake horn?
Just like an iconic bass line.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Walk it up, walking down. Walk it up, walking down. Walk it up, walking down. I'll follow it to hell. I will. It's like the Pied Piper for me. I'm like, yeah, keep going. I like this.
Wah! Yeah.
It's like jazzy. It kind of reminds me of Thundercat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
her,
yeah. Hmm. It's such a weird like sting to just put in the song sometimes.
I think it's so fucking cool.
It's like, it's one of the sounds in this song that makes me go like, okay, that's interesting. But then I just, I'm like, what's, like every layer of this song sounds like a different song.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's that ding, 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 that feels like it's on a different key almost.
I think that's what makes it work for me, is that maybe the production is so fucking interesting. Like if you sat me down with the exact same pads, beats, samples, anything they used, I could not make this song with all the time in the world. I'd have no idea what all these layers are.
Right.
By the way, did I forget to mention the samples the song?
Oh, yeah, it does. It samples I Wanna Rock by Luke, but it only samples the line that it's like the Don't Stop, Get It, Get It, which I feel like so many songs sample.
Can you even really call that a sample then?
It's a lyrical sample.
I like this.
That's the part that should have sampled.
We want some pussy? Oh.
It's I Wanna Rock by Luke.
I don't know the song.
It's one of the original Jock Jams, I feel like. It's also like
slaps hard.
Like Don't Stop, Get It, Get It, I feel like makes an appearance in so many rap songs.
And we're sure that they all are referencing the same thing and not just coming up with the same idea?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I feel like De La Soul especially, they were working at the same time as this guy was.
So lyrically he said, "City's breaking down on a camel's back. They'll just have to go because they don't know whack. So all you fill the streets, it's appealing to see. You won't get undercounted because you're damned and free."
I always thought that last line was "you're damn ass free," which is why I was like, what are you saying?
What would that even mean?
That's exactly, what does it mean now?
Okay, let's try. Julia?
City's breaking down on a camel's
Julia,
back.
Would you like to take a stab, Julia?
Yeah, give me your phone.
What? I'm not reading lyrics. I have these memorized. There's no phone.
Okay. You know, like how the camel's back gets broken by a straw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
It's under a lot of stress.
and the city's doing that. And
I wish you guys could see the way she's squinting at the phone as if there's more information in front of her than there is. Mm. If you stare hard enough, the answer will come.
If I had reading glasses, I would be peering over them. Because I truly don't know whack either.
I don't know whack.
And
I've never presumed to know whack.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, dude. It's like I'd love for it to be this thing about, like, you know, society is really brainwashed and it's about to break. But, like, I don't...
You don't get that from
that. I'm making a ton of assumptions.
I feel like that is kind of, like, if that's what the sort of energy of the lyrics feels like. Like, talking about a city and, like, people getting undercounted and being damned, it's just like... It feels like he's just saying, like, this city sucks and you guys are filling the streets and you think you're happy, but you're fucking damned.
Precisely.
Yeah.
But I don't actually, I'm not analyzing the lyrics and getting that. I'm just like, I think that's vibe. What you're probably trying to say.
I think with a song like this that A, has so many words, and B, don't know that they're meant to be examined thoroughly, I think all you can kind of infer is vibe.
Yeah.
Mood and vibe. So we get the sense pretty immediately... This is some kind of maybe dystopian future, or at the very least, our narrator is not like the other guys.
Yeah.
I'm not like those other humans. I'm critical of them.
Me may be damned, but I'm actually free. You know why? I looked at the internet once. I've damned unplugged myself free. From the Matrix.
You know why I'm free? Because I hate people.
I have the ability to put myself above others. And therefore, I am above others. I get it. I agree.
I agree.
What's this undercounting?
You won't get undercounted. They're on the streets. Like, what, 1984? I'm trying to imagine. Brave New World? Like, what's our reference point here?
I have no
clue. Soylent Green. They're on the streets, and they're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, because they're all lining up, and they all agree to go along with whatever horrible atrocity the singer believes to be happening, because they're damned, but they're free. They're not free. It's the illusion of freedom.
But what's the counting?
Like, sheep in a row. I don't know.
Undercounted. Well, you know, like, each individual human soul is such a beautiful thing to be acknowledged, and if we don't lean into the universe that is inside of each person, and we're truly undercounting each person, each life.
Soft audiobook reading of this song.
Julie, I think this should be the rest of the podcast. You're the host now. It's a totally different show.
People would hate it.
You just go... All right, guys, so today is another day. Nothing ever means anything.
Breathe into the expansiveness inside you.
If you can, imagine your lungs getting bigger, do that. And if you can't, don't.
I've been to that yoga class. Don't push yourself too hard. Wherever you're at is fine.
I went to a yoga class once thinking I was going to, I don't ever expect a workout, of course, but like, you know, a good stretch here and there. And this one I went to, I won't name names, but it was a studio I will not return to. It was just sitting on our knees for an hour.
No.
And it was not even like vinyasa, what is it called?
Yin?
The hot one.
Oh, Bikram?
Bikram. It wasn't even Bikram. It was like an average temperature room just sitting for an hour. I was like, first of all, this is very hard on my knees. Second of all, I'm so bored. I don't think I'm getting this. If I'm supposed to be meditating, that's a different thing, right?
That's a different thing.
Yoga stretching.
They called it yoga, and you sat there the whole time?
The whole time.
Bummer.
And the thing about that that's so frustrating is I usually really like sitting.
Debbie, it ruined sitting for me.
I have nothing to say.
Debbie's like, I tapped out. So
is this another fad that's just like, you don't know?
I'm not like, it's not a problem that I have nothing to say. I'm just sitting here.
Just like the yoga class.
Exactly.
Just like that horrible yoga class.
Except I'm not on my knees. I can't, it might be bad.
It hurts, right?
Yeah.
Sitting on your knees?
That's why God gave us asses.
And chairs.
Well, yeah, he invented the ass first.
You gotta do
sounds like there's an ice cream truck melting in the background. That
yeah, I love it. It sounds like he's trying to really make a soundscape of the spooky city.
But what do the words mean?
Okay, he said, you got a new horizon. It's ephemeral style. How do you say that word?
Ephemeral.
Ephemeral. I always want to put another R in there. Ephemeral style.
Ephemeral.
A melancholy town where we never smile. And all I want to hear is the message beep. My dreams, they come a-kissing because I don't get sleep, no.
You know what I think it is for me? Is that I've always known the words to this song.
Really?
Yes. From the first time I heard City's Breaking Down on Camel's Back, and then the rest of the words, I was just like, what does this mean? So I was just like, is he just scatting words?
You were so shaken by the first line, you're like, I cannot.
No, because I was like, City's Breaking Down on Camel's Back, oh, that's interesting. And then I'm like, okay, I'm hooked in. And then the rest of them, I'm like, this is nothing. It's nothing we're listening to, guys.
It's one of those moments where you're like, this is either too high of art for me to understand, or I could put all this effort, energy in trying to understand it to have no answer.
Yeah. And either way, I'm just kind of like, it's not fulfilling the base need of what I need in this song. So therefore, it's nothing to me.
What's the base need?
I want to enjoy it. I can't enjoy it if I'm sitting here just going, what? What does that mean? What am I hearing? What?
So do you feel like lyrics are necessary for you to enjoy a song?
No, but I'm saying like when I get hooked into the lyrics and I'm paying attention to them, I'm like, wait, I am, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a real bait and switch for you.
Exactly.
He really edged you with that first line.
Not really, but I'll give it to you.
It's a real tease.
To the edge.
I got a sound cue. I did my job. I can sleep tonight.
You got a few sound cues.
Yes! Can I hit another one, please?
I don't want to edge. If you start fucking me, you better make me cool.
That's from last week.
Wow! Yeah, it was fast sound. That's Nicole Byer. Oh, yeah.
Damn, Miel, that's a classic joke.
Classic Miel.
Oh, wow.
Julia, this is a fever dream. This whole podcast. Timmy's got this power, his iPad. He's so good at editing audio.
I don't use
audio.
It enough.
You really don't. You were sitting... You were the city on the camel's back. Oh my God, we figured it out.
How?
I don't know. I just wanted to bring it back to the song. That was my segue to talking about the song.
You got a new horizon. It's ephemeral style. So it's this horizon. You gotta.
What's ephemeral mean again?
It's like something
earthy?
That's flighty and doesn't matter.
Okay.
Like if I was just
airy.
Like, oh, I just wrote this thing. It doesn't matter. It's this ephemeral piece of art that I made.
Okay, so it was fitting in.
Sure.
Fitting right in.
Is it? You got a new horizon. Okay, you've got a future. It's ephemeral. Even the phrase, it's ephemeral style,
okay,
doesn't work.
We both kind of were a little, oh wait, no, you got it more right than I did. Ephemeral.
Ephemeral.
So ephemeral is not a word, but ephemeral is lasting for a very short time.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Demi went to college. Continue, Demi.
So it's saying you have a future, but it's not going to last?
Yeah.
What, also, just think the phrase, it's ephemeral style. I'm like, what does that mean?
So the horizon line you're looking at, it looks like the horizon, but it's gonna be gone soon. This song,
but like
global warming,
it's an ephemeral style.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't.
It's ephemeral style is what Genius says.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like it's missing a word.
Well, ephemeral is an adjective.
Yeah, but you can't say it's green style.
I mean, you can't. But I do like when you do.
Fair. Okay, a melancholy town where we never smile.
That one confuses me.
There you go. Dystopian future.
Sure. And everyone's kind of sad, but not that sad.
Yeah.
Kind of sad.
Mm.
Okay.
And all I want to hear is the message beep. What?
Maybe to indicate that it's like his turn to talk.
Uh-uh.
No. Okay, too far. I'm sorry.
Is it the beep of like you have no more messages?
A message beep. Maybe that you have a message. He just wants a friend.
I like that read. Maybe it's like I want this recorded. Get this out to the resistance.
Yeah.
And all I want to hear is a message beep. You just, when do messages beep, actually, is my question.
The machine beeps when you play your messages.
Yeah.
Or when you go to record a message, it beeps at you to let you know, start recording.
It's just like, maybe he's talking to someone named Beep. All I want to hear is the message, Beep.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Beep is the unnamed gorilla.
Yeah.
Russell and Beep.
You get one normal name and then you go fucking crazy. Just give him a noun.
Genius has something to say about this. Maybe they have more insight than we do. I don't know. Do you know what the note is?
No, because I had to. Yeah.
He awaits a glimmer of hope to take advantage of. A beep sound can actually be heard before the hook. So yeah, there was a beep actually in the production right there.
Yeah.
The signals the transition to a happier tone, a happier song, and a more joyous time. This implies that we're living life in a passive state. Always waiting for something outside of ourselves to move us.
Hmm.
I'm not sure I got all that from these lyrics, but I appreciate that someone did.
Real reach.
Or we're all dummies? One of the two.
I don't know. I mean, as a person who writes lyrics, it's like you can always rest on the, like, you just don't get it. But, like, you have to also be responsible for how your art is received to a certain extent. And that's why I literally don't write any metaphors.
I only write literally.
You can't interpret things any other way.
Wait, I'm actually really curious about this. Did you make a conscious choice? I don't want to do metaphors, or is that just the style you naturally gravitated towards?
I think that, like, in school, I just naturally gravitate towards it. And, like, in school, whenever I was asked to write metaphors, I just feel foolish. Anytime I'm asked to do something that, like, poeticizes what's happening, I'm like, well, this...
You become a clown.
I'm a clown.
That's a metaphor.
I might as well just say, I'm sad about the thing you did, instead of being like, panes of glass, shatter, shatter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no.
I don't know. Panes of glass, shatter, shatter, how's a nice ring to it?
And then
you could use that sound cue in your song.
No.
That's art.
No thanks.
Can we talk about the way the bass walked down at the end there, though? Because that was sick, right?
Dun, 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 boom. I dig it.
And then the whole vibe shifts.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a different
song. Two songs.
We go funky, funky
Arizona.
To like window, window, shatter, shatter. What?
Windmill. Here, let's. Also, okay. We didn't even talk about this last part. My dreams, they come a kissing because I don't get sleep.
Okay, no. I think I get that one. I think he's saying that sleep is coming for him. in the daytime and shit because he's so tired. Like, it's like the dreams are coming at him because he's...
Oh, like he's hallucinating.
Or he's, like, falling asleep in the middle of the day or
I like that.
I like that one.
Okay. That's so nice.
That one checks out.
They come a-kissing is a crazy way to say it, I think. British people are wild.
Windmill, windmill, ooh, the crackle.
Sony crackle.
I love that guitar, too.
Yeah, the guitar is good.
And that one just noodling alone. Meep, boop, meep, boop. And those upstrokes, I mean, I think it definitely is a different song.
It's almost like a more classic song, too. Maybe this is him going like, this was the fucking crazy world, but this is the old, back in the old days when music was good and people weren't cheap.
I think also, I don't know how much we should take into account in our reading the music video. The music video is like a whole art piece in its own right.
I feel like we shouldn't have to.
I think you're right about that. But yeah. This, I feel like if it helps, they do kind of show two different realities. I think like Noodle is up in the clouds and then everyone else is like under them in this like it's gray, like, horrible city.
It's like based on Howl's Moving Castle or something, right?
No, I think he used some of like the windmill imagery he was kind of referencing. Not Howl's Moving Castle, but...
Spirited Away?
No. Clouds, something. Fuck, what's it called? I'll find it. Vamp.
Let's go to a break, actually.
Gorillaz Miyazaki. It's one I haven't seen.
It's all of them for me. I don't watch movies. I don't like them. I prefer still images. Mm. And if I want to see them move, I'll move my head real quick.
Wow.
Too much work.
It took me by surprise.
I think all of that is in. We're back from our break. The movie is Castle in the Sky.
Oh.
Yeah. I think.
Like The Les Mis? No, that's Castle on a Cloud.
In fact, I'm not even sure. Jamie said in an interview that the inspiration for some scenes in the music video came from that movie. But also people have compared it because I think visually they're pretty similar.
They're both drawn.
But like, it's, I do recommend watching the video. It's very cool. It's just a whole other thing. Julia.
Demi's getting me.
I'm just talking about how I feel about things, all right? I don't drink water even. I'll spit in my own mouth, thank you.
Demi, you should write this down, dude. This is killing.
These are all just things that I truly believe, okay?
You should open your next tight time with this shit. You're on fire, man.
I don't like movies. I prefer still images.
This has broken you.
It's like I looked up and you just with like kind of dead eyes were like, if I want them to move, I'll just move my head real fast. Completely serious. And Miel's like just researching.
My whole thing here is just like, keep us on track. Keep us on track.
This podcast became visual for a brief minute. So then they go into the chorus, which is
windmill, windmill. This is also 2D. This is all 2D. Okay. Oh, yeah. This is still 2D.
Windmill, windmill is pre-chorus. As a songwriter, I know these things. Pre-chorus, pre-chorus.
So then watch the chorus.
Feels good.
First of all, again, you are inserting the theme of your song. This is Feel
Julian
Good.
Feel good.
Your song
Julian
is Feel Good.
Feel good.
This
on
is
iTunes.
Feel Good.
On
there's really no S. Feel
no,
Good?
It's just Feel Good, good? Incorporated. So
does
that's
he ever
the company.
Say, does no. he ever say Inc?
No, because... Oh.
Incorporated? Does he ever say that
no,
part?
No, I don't think he ever says Inc.
I don't think he does. Oh, Don't Stop, You Kill the Ink. That's like the only mention.
Yeah, then we got the ink.
Yeah.
So I think he's trying to say this is the company that is designed to make you feel good.
It's
that's the pill everyone's taking down on the planet.
This is high school poetry.
Yeah.
This is someone who just
feel
watched
good
The Matrix
ink.
And is like, yeah, that's fucking something.
Oh,
right?
Get your high school diploma. Subscribe to the Feel Good Incorporated.
You fucking follow in your dad's footsteps. You push your paper. You push your fucking pencils. You drive
oh,
your fucking
you decorate your cubicle.
You're Dilbert. You're all Dilbert.
You take the elevator. I take the stairs.
Nice tie, you fucking normie.
Guess what? It's a noose.
That tie is a noose.
I mean, it's right there. You could have used that.
Your cubicle is more like a coffin. We should go
cubicle
back in time and write
jail
some.
Cell.
We got to write some pop punk in, like, the early 2000s.
Honestly, if you think about it, too, the toilets in most office buildings, the doors don't go all the way to the ground. So you basically are shitting in front of everyone you know. That's a lot like jail, huh?
I do that by choice sometimes.
What?
I've lost a lot of jobs. The next verse is, no, we didn't talk about this one at all.
Windmill, windmill, for the land, turn forever, hand in hand. Take it all there on your stride. Is it Eight King falling down?
I've always heard that as it is sticking, falling down, which is another thing that made me go, what are we doing here?
But, so, windmills.
Oh, like, yeah, cyclical sheeple on a conveyor belt. For sure that's what this is.
For the land.
Also, turn forever
America.
Hand in... Actually, I think it's a ring. Turn forever hand in hand. The windmills hold hands?
That's what he's saying. He's implying it's a hand windmill.
What if they held hands, they wouldn't be able to turn.
Mm. Yeah, they could. Mm. They
no,
turn...
the wheel can't turn if they're connected to the wheel next to them.
Only if they're connected by the wheel.
How do you want to connect?
Hands at the axis.
The wheel is the head.
What?
The wheels are the head of the windmill. I feel like you think I'm saying something crazy here, and I'm just saying that the wheels are the head of the windmill.
Dude.
The door is the dick of the windmill.
I can't believe you're saying this right now. I can't believe you're saying this on air right now.
The window is the single titty of the windmill.
We talked explicitly.
And I told you I don't agree.
That the hands of the windmill are on the end of every blade. They have 50 hands.
So they have 50. No, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Oh my God.
You're talking crazy.
Oh my God.
No.
Now you're gaslighting me.
And in the center of the windmill's head is the nut that holds it all together, and that's their mouth.
That's their face.
It's their mouth.
Oh
I'm
my
not
God.
Doing. We don't have to do this. Julia, you shouldn't be here for this. I'm so embarrassed to do this in front of you. You should go.
Bye, guys. This has been really nice.
Julia said 13 words. Laugh a lot.
It is aching, falling down.
What is?
Yeah, there you go. People, right? This people. Is we've got
them
nailed.
Are we the windmills?
Maybe.
We're the windmills and we're providing the power for our country.
We're just letting
by subscribing to the man.
We're just letting the winds of change blow us around instead of us being the people who fucking make the turns hand in hand, you know?
Forever.
We're taking it all in our stride and we're hurting and falling down.
That's it.
That's it.
I took one creative writing class in high school.
So did Damon Albarn.
Okay, I think I figured it out.
Okay.
I think I figured it out. I know this is wrong. I'm going to say it with confidence. I think in the verse, 2D is saying, he's red-pilled himself. He's like, can't you guys see what you're doing? You're subscribing to this thing that's killing you. And then I think when the message beeps, I think it cuts to him if he could subscribe to it still. So I think he's saying, okay, awesome, this is awesome, this is all great. Or is it the idyllic alternative? I don't know. But to me, when he's like, let's turn forever hand in hand, I'm like, oh, okay. Wait, he doesn't say that.
He says turn forever hand in hand up top and then said, let's turn forever you and me.
You and me. So by inserting himself into the narrative, I'm like, oh, so he's wanting to subscribe to this. Is this... I've confused myself.
You can't escape the societal norms that under which all of our souls are crushed.
Keep going.
Probably it's something about how you just turn forever inside your own mind. And in society, life and death, it's all a cycle.
So yeah, you're saying that no matter if you're woke or not woke, you're still going to live out the same cycles until you die?
For sure.
Huh.
Why windmill?
Because they turn forever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Is everybody in? Is that
now we're gonna go to outer space because I don't know how to say his name.
Trugoy?
Trugoy?
Yeah.
I loved that show. The weird spinoff from True Blood.
Oh, I was like, the Jewish spinoff. Yeah. What does the is everybody in even mean in this context? Like,
is everybody,
is everybody
so
in the windmill or is everybody agreeing to do this
to
thing?
Just subscribe to this for life and
yeah,
stay
that's
happy?
The one. Yeah.
I guess the thing is, I can't tell if the read is supposed to be that they're happy in this dystopian system or if they're happy in this alternative place. But if it is the dystopian system, I think maybe this expresses the longing to simplify your own brain so that you don't feel like you're just watching everyone else and being like, can't you see?
Yeah.
That you could just happily be like, I have a wife and two kids and I live in the suburbs where I grew up and I have a job that I've had for 30 years and it doesn't reward me at all, but that's totally fine. I don't need that. I feel fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I could live that way. I'd be a happier person.
So is this an indictment of that thought?
mean, I don't know. That was a random example, but of whatever thought he's fucking describing, this like, I don't know, industrial.
Yeah, like now that I've explained it to you and I've brought light to the systematic whatever that you're in, are you still in? Are you still going to do it?
Doesn't it sound like he's like, that's like the voice of evil for a second? You know what I mean? He's like, hey, it'd be pretty nice, huh? It's turn forever. Are you
Wouldst
in?
Wouldst thou like butter?
Is that a witch reference?
Yeah.
The taste of butter.
What?
That creeped me out. I'm
this
sorry.
This is all so fucking... It's just, I'm like, write a song, man.
Well, now we're about to get a lot of words.
Oh, yeah. Trugoy does not.
Trugoy the dove is about to hit us with something. Laughing gasters, hazmat, fast cat, lining them up like ass crack. Ladies, ponies at the track. It's my chocolate. Woo, that's my favorite line in the song. Oh, that
what's
line is so
going,
funny.
I feel like every line, I'm just kind of like, what's happening?
Laugh and gas these hazmats, fast cats, lining them up like ass cracks. Lay these ponies at the track. It's my chocolate attack. Chocolate attack.
This one makes the most
sense out of any of them so far.
He's saying he wants to take all the like exec heads and like do something bad to them.
But he says fast cats, not fat cats.
It's just a... Okay, you know what the genius says? Actually, I read this and made me laugh quite hard.
What?
Fast cats may be referring to cheetahs.
Oh, my God.
And cheetah is a double entendre cheater. For cheater.
I love that if it is, and I respect it if it is.
I have a feeling they were like fat cats, let's say fast cats.
Yeah.
But maybe it's the cheetah thing.
I think they were just like, it rhymes with hazmats better than fat does.
I also think lining them up like ass cracks is fucking genius. I love that line.
Oh, because the ass crack is a line.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are, see, I like a simile. I don't like a metaphor. I like a simile.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's a little more explanative.
Lay these ponies at the track.
It's my chocolate attack.
What is the lay these ponies at the track?
Lay them.
Yeah.
Like horses at the race. Make them, like, race each other, whatever. Hunger Wars. I don't know. What he's gonna do something to them.
So it's like some Run the Jewels shit.
Yeah, he's gonna, like, do something to these people.
And it already sounds very runny of the Jewelsy.
It does sound a little runny the Jewelsy. That's a great impression of De La Soul.
Thank you. Killer Mike, would you like to
collaborate?
Oh, I was like, take a break and you step in for him?
Can you imagine?
I got that clip in my mouth all day. It's my chocolate attack is...
It's genius.
It always stood out as a line to me. I'm like, what's happening here?
High art. I love that line.
Is it
I respect the three-syllable chocolate.
Chocolate.
It's a chocolate attack.
Oh, have you ever heard it pronounced better?
Chocolate.
I mean, it is confusing because chocolate, you know, we don't pronounce the second O.
Is he saying, like, is it a reference to his own blackness? Or is it, like, is chocolate supposed to be intrinsic in the rest of the stuff he's saying?
I think either he's saying, let's line these people up at a racetrack and spray them with chocolate.
Sure.
Or he's just talking about being a black man. One of the two.
The black one makes more sense, but also in these four lines, he's made way more sense than the rest of the song.
Yeah. I mean... That's correct.
It's just so weird to me that it's like, what is the process of Damon Albarn explaining this song to De La Soul, being like, hey, I don't know if you guys want to jump on this. Like, what does he tell them?
And
what are they like?
He plays the beat for them and is like, what do you think? And they're like, yeah, maybe. And he's like, okay, so it's kind of about like dystopian future, like bad guys. Like, the idea is kind of like Feel Good Ink, like bad guys.
And let me show you some of the drawings that we did.
Yeah, probably.
And they're like, okay, all right, man.
If I had to guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope after this session, one of the guys was like, hey, man, I really like chocolate too.
What, like darker, like a 55%?
There's this one kind from Trader Joe's that I really like.
Oh, it's like a bittersweet?
85%.
Oh, ooh. Shit, you fuck with nuts? Do you fuck with some nuts in there?
Top three nuts, go.
Almond, cashew, peanut.
I can't get almond in there, but I agree with the rest of it.
Top three nuts.
We've had this fight before.
This is my go-to conversation starter at any party.
Did people usually know theirs as fast as I do?
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone goes macadamia, hazelnut, pistachio. Which, no, I know.
I'm sorry, Marissa.
No, I know.
Julia, what are your top three nuts?
My top three nuts are for sure, it starts with almond.
Thank you.
All the way at the top. And then the nuts get really blurry.
What?
I personally can't really fuck with peanut because... It's a phlegm-inducing nut.
Yeah, it is.
And I must sing on the regular.
Right. You can't be mucusy.
Flavor I love. Mucus, I was gonna say, don't.
The butter just fucking catapults it back up to top for me.
Yeah, but you're also like, after you eat peanut butter.
Worth it.
Chocolate, too.
It's worth it. You get a little bit of after for yourself. You can save some in the bits of your teeth, and you're just like, oh.
You're actually grossing me out somehow, and I don't know.
All right.
I talk about gross shit all the time, but this conversation, I'm thinking about peanut butter-flavored spit, and it feels really bad.
Why peanut butter-flavored spit?
You get some later.
Why is there spit involved?
I was talking about mucus.
In your mouth. Oh.
I don't. You guys got to keep your teeth dry. Y'all are the weird ones here. Keep your teeth dry, and then you can store as many things as you want in there.
Let me touch your teeth for just one second.
Go
Let me
for it. Lean over. Lean over this.
Don't
do that. Could you imagine if you did touch them? You're like, what's going on?
They're
here?
So dry.
Temmie's mouth is dry.
Every time he talks, his lip gets stuck. His
I've never been more aware that teeth are just bones.
Wet bones.
I made a whole YouTube video about it.
Teeth are just bones.
Yeah, and my parents stole them from me.
Get those bones
Give me
back.
Money for them.
And I would like them back because I feel like selling a bone for a quarter is very low.
So my top three nuts, just to put an end to
yeah,
this,
yeah,
are
thank you. Sorry.
Pee, lug, and bustin'.
What?
And then she goes,
and then the next clip,
the next clip. The next clip is
I love this voice. That's it, that's so cool.
Yeah.
The way he fucks with the rhythm here is fucking genius.
That's,
I love it.
Definitely
that's
the line
cadence.
That I think most people like people know the most, right? The watch me that gravitate, ha 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 ha.
I mean that's I feel like everyone's going, watch me, yeah, that gravitate.
Oh yeah.
That's a fake laugh in a song with a real laugh. We've got both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, you can compare them and be like, okay, that's what it sounds like if I actually make De La Soul laugh, and this is what it sounds like if they're faking it.
I want an intermediary laugh, which is one point. This just like, oh, we can't tell.
Where it's like it's fake at first, and then it turns into a real
yeah,
one.
We're like, oh, fuck. Yeah.
Let's get a snort in there.
There we go.
You can use that one, gorillas. Shit, I took her off my own page.
Shit, I'm stepping in hotter this year. Yeah, Care Bear repping it harder this year. Yeah. Watch me as I gravitate, ha 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 ha.
Shit, I'm stepping in harder this year.
Yeah.
Care about ripping it harder this year.
Yeah.
He like really drops his voice way the fuck down, right?
I think that's a different person.
Really? Genius says it's the same person.
Oh, I thought it was Russell, because that sounds exactly like the voice that they do for...
It's a different character or it's a different actual performer?
I thought different performer, but I don't... Because I don't know that it's the same guy doing
okay,
that.
Okay, I'm only reading the Genius, so this definitely could be wrong, but according to the Genius... It must be wrong, because this is only crediting Trugoy.
Hmm. Well, let's see. I have the...
And I think at least two, if not all three, right? There's three De La Soul?
Yes.
I think they're all involved. So, I don't know.
Laughing gas, these hazmats, fast cats, lining them up like trash. Play these ponies at the track, it's my chocolate attack. I'm stepping in harder this year. Yeah, bear repping in harder this year. Watch me as I gravitate.
Maybe they pitched it down on that part.
It just sounds like that.
Yeah.
Swear I'm stepping in harder this year.
Because it does feel like it very naturally goes back up to watch me as I'm gravitate.
Someone's probably screaming at their radio right now. Sorry that
we
don't
know. Keep screaming. I can't fucking hear you. Scream louder.
So this part, I don't understand. Shit, I'm stepping in harder this year. Care Bear repping it harder this year. Watch me as I gravitate.
I mean,
he's gonna like kill it, I guess, is what that part means.
But gravitate, does he mean like what? Yeah, watch as I get closer to something.
The Care Bear, what?
Care Bear repping it harder this year.
I think he's Genius says that he's comparing the gorillas to the Care Bears because they're also a crew of musician cartoons with a similarly positive outlook to the Care Bears.
Oh my god.
Are they similarly positive?
Well, I think that it's to the gritty world.
I love that.
That's what Genius says.
I love that, like, Genius is clearly someone just being like, I want the points of getting this right, so I'm just gonna find a connection of the times.
I think the music video does provide a lot more context.
Yeah.
I kind of think that in this case it was a companion piece because it's a digital band.
But they don't have music videos for all their songs.
Because they're like $1 billion.
Yeah.
So expensive to animate shit.
And you gotta do it fast. Because they're doing one thing and they do the next thing. It's like, what do you...
Do the cartoons lip sync?
Well, you have like 3 minutes to make a whole video. You got to draw really quick.
Or move your head really, really fast.
There you go.
Well, yeah, but then it's only flat. It doesn't... I don't know. I don't know how this works.
I do like the Care Bear reference, though, as I did like the Care Bears.
Yeah, and the cadence is still on point in this part of the song.
Care Bear ripping in hard. Shit, maybe he's just saying like... I'm doing so much better this year. Now watch me as I fucking rise.
Right.
And then it's like, okay.
It doesn't have anything to do with the rest of the song, but it's a sick verse.
Classic rap trope of just like, here's just a verse where I just say I'm doing well.
You need to have that as a soundbite. Classic rap.
Classic rap. We gon' ghost town, this Motown with your sound. You in the blink, gon' bite the dust, can't fight the dust. With your sound, you kill the ink. So don't stop, get it, get it. Yeah. Until you change your head and watch the way I navigate.
I love those ha's.
And that kicks into a longer laugh that just kind of quietly in the background that is fucking crazy. I'll play the beginning of it. Watch the way I navigate. So it's like they just got a longer recording of that laugh. I'm like, we got to use all of it in the song.
Julia.
Damn.
Why do you look so scared?
Terrifying.
It's a crazy evil laugh.
It is in part a laugh, but like 30 to 40% of that is just scream.
Yeah.
I just yell.
Do tread on thin ice here. You are speaking to a scream laugher.
You know what it reminds me of?
I scream instead of laugh.
You know at the end of Inglourious Basterds when the entire theater is burning and the video is her like Eva laughing?
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing here. It's like, see, he's watching something burn. It's like, ha, 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 ha.
Very maniacal.
Yeah.
But I think that's the point, right?
I mean,
are they supposed to be the ink in this scenario, or are they like the crazy guerrilla warfare burning the ink down?
I think they're burning the ink, because it says, with your sound, you kill the ink. Well, let's, yeah, even talk about that verse. He says,
we gonna ghost town, this Motown, with yo sound, you in the blink. I'm trying to read the lyrics.
I'm pretty sure it's in the place.
Oh. Wait. Genius says blink, but Genius is wrong all the time. We gon' ghost town, this
Motown, with your sound, you in the blink. Oh, it is blink. Weird.
Actually, this part makes sense to me. He's saying, we're gonna, like, let's say this is a town that's been completely corrupted by Feel Good Inc., a singular town. He's saying, with this fresh sound and what we're singing about and how innovative this song sounds, we're gonna ghost town this town. People will stop subscribing to it. They'll wake up.
But this Motown.
Yeah, I don't know about that part. Maybe it's Detroit's the town they're talking about.
Oh, yeah. This entire song is like, hey, Detroit fucking sucks, right?
Oh, so dark.
I mean, it's not me, it's them.
It's just like, you know.
It's gorillas.
Oh, why do I try to reference this when I can't remember the names? The movie.
But that's real as hell. It's like the, like the capitalism of the world. Yeah, yeah. Fucked up Detroit.
Yeah.
Ford destroyed that city. Is that what did it? I don't know.
Oh, and like this verse could just be like the big bad guys where he's like, ha ha ha, I'm the bad guy. I know that I'm fucking all you up and it's cool. Yeah.
It could be either perspective. I kind of like that ambiguity. Because then he says, gonna bite the dust, can't fight with us. So right now he's still singing from the perspective of like, I'm gonna take you down.
Yeah, yeah.
With yo sound, you kill the ink.
I feel like the kill the ink is like the line that makes it, okay, we're the good guys.
Yeah.
But what is the you in the blink?
In the blink of an eye, and you're the blink.
With your sound, you're in the part, I don't know. Maybe it's like in the opposite of open your eyes, sheeple.
You're what is behind the eyes when they're closed.
Well, it's just like,
whoa. I said something deeper than I meant to.
Dang.
I don't know what's happening.
Julia, you can use that. Julia, you can, wait, no, you don't use metaphors. Sorry.
Mm-mm, never. Not once.
She'll just say like, what's physically behind my eyes, literally when I'm closing my eyes.
I close my eyes.
When I close them.
I see some like gently red undertones.
So it's like silhouettes of stuff I was looking at before.
Oh yeah.
I really appreciate that you closed your eyes just to be like, what am I seeing?
What is it? Does the, yeah, like maybe like a burgundy carpet.
It's always burgundy, isn't it? Is everyone's eyes? This is
wait, a crazy
is that because
you're looking at my sweater?
No.
Or my sweater.
I think it's light coming through your eyelids because your blood's red.
Oh.
Wait, so it's kind of red. Are you guys?
Okay, close your eyes. Everyone yeah. listening,
everyone,
unless you're driving,
everyone
close
your
eyes. And kind of gently like look around. You'll see like red tones.
Yeah. No, I don't.
I do.
Maybe it's the color of our skin.
It might be that because you're white, there's more light passing through your skin.
Yeah, we are both like, we look kind of related. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
We have the exact same situation happening.
The exact same.
Coloring and everything.
And then from there on, the song is pretty simple. But after that, it goes into, I clipped out something long here. Oh, it's just like they drop out some of the instruments and have this.
I feel like we're traveling through this like idyllic place and the ink.
Oh yeah, and he's floating on a cloud playing his little guitar, this part of the music video.
Castle in the sky. Mamma mia, pizza pie.
This is the same as before.
Yeah. Except there's a... One part I will say, I'm like, that rules is whenever the drum beat like dubs like doom doom boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the production on the song, I don't know how you can improve it.
Yeah.
I think it's really, really cool.
It is cool.
Especially for the time, 2005.
Yeah. It also makes it clear why I didn't go to number one, because this isn't the kind of thing you can dance to at prom.
Oh,
no. Changes too much.
Honestly, though, try me.
They could have sped it up, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like windmill for the. Oh, no, then.
Ooh, that's fun.
That feels like a song in Footloose.
I was hearing kind of like with the foot claps and the foot stomping and the claps, it feels like I can kind of imagine like a choir singing it.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. Ooh, this is some church shit.
Ooh. Windmill with the fast. Oh, I love that. Fucking shit. We should have done that. Fuck.
We really should have.
Okay, so that was the same.
That was the same. And I think this last part is pretty much just, it's a reprise of the thing they just said, but just kind of like the catchphrase parts.
Okay.
Doesn't it sound like he said shit it, get it?
Yep.
Yep,
for sure.
And then it's just, your captain's in it?
Like, I think leading the charge.
Yeah.
It's this until it ends.
Yeah. They loved this laugh. All right, I love the bass line and the claps on this song, and everything else I'm just kind of like, hey, we're here.
I give them so much credit. I mean, I just don't know any other song like this.
Yeah.
Mm.
It is truly. That's hard. Yeah, I feel like it's incomparable, and that's, yeah, good enough.
There was something cool happening in 2005, though, where, like, fucking Death Cab for Cutie put out just, like, a guitar sad song, and it took off. And
I Will,
like,
Possess Your Heart, with, like, 4 minutes of just a bass vamping at the top.
Ooh,
oh,
I'm
no,
thinking
you're thinking
of
I Will Follow You into the Dark. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's,
had
like,
a lot of I Wills.
Mm. Very selfish band.
Ben Gibbard, fight me.
I feel like the radio was being like a little more expansive at the time. Like things that were strange could get through to the top. And this song was like one of the first of its kind being like mega, not at all, no human beings behind it. Like mega made on a computer, just like as strange as it could possibly be with still being catchy.
Yeah, and I think you make an interesting point. I would love to talk to some professor of, like, the music industry that knows what was happening at that time, because I think, I could be totally wrong, I think it was shortly thereafter that, what is it, Crystal? Whoever that conglomerate is that acquired, like, virtually all radio stations.
Whoa.
That happened, I know it happened recently when I moved to LA, and I moved to LA in 2009. So at some point, like, a single entity acquired, like, the vast majority of, like, major radio stations. And then because they're all pulling from the same pot, they only play the same, like, 20 songs. And I think that that actually had a huge impact on the type of music that was able to get made, because they were all just trying to sound like the same thing. And I think now we've arrived at a point where fucking everything sounds the same. Like, I haven't heard
on
a big...
On the radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, number ones are kind of interchangeable.
We just listened to a song right before this podcast that was like a carbon copy of another song.
And they all sound like they could have been from 5 years ago or now. Like, I'm really interested to see how history regards this era and music. If there's like throwback jams from this era, or if they just all sound the fucking same.
Wait, what do you mean?
Just that, like, what's the defining thing about this era of music that we're presently in that people will be like, oh, remember when they did those trap drum beats?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, what is, you know what I mean?
I feel like it's going to be that, like, sort of Fifth Harmony, Ariana Grande.
Doom. Yeah.
Doom, 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 doom.
That, like, fucking.
That sounds like the Rugrats.
Well, fucking the Rugrats had to walk so that Ariana Grande could run a whole 200 years later.
Rugrats came out 200 years ago.
Well, no, the finale
She's
happened
sample
to
sample Rugrats, like, sometime soon.
We already had it, dude.
Who did it?
You. G, the movie. Maya. You guys remember this?
Busta Buster on the track. Rapping like Reptar. I always forget that Busta Rhymes is the voice of Reptar in the Rugrats movie. And I'm just kind of
no way.
Rugrats is an important part of black cultural history. That entire soundtrack is like black art. It's great.
You're right.
Yeah.
Do we think that it's canon that
Chucky's
always
black? Yeah. What were you going to say?
I was going to ask if Chucky's black.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, Chucky is black. I want to say Angelica's Latino.
Well, Latina.
Okay, watch the later episodes.
Wow.
What were you going to say? What were you going to say?
That's how all of us get out of talking. So what were you going to say?
Yeah, I said my piece.
I was just going to say, I think this song definitely, I think it was a big reach. It was a big reach. I feel like I got enough to know what they were saying, so I'm not hung up on individual lines, not totally checking out. Because, like, if the point of the song was to be like, hey, it's a dystopian future, we got to take down the ink, I got that.
Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, what the fuck? Chocolate attack. I think that's hilarious.
The rap is the part that makes the most sense to me.
And it's the majority of the song.
Yes. So I'm just like, I mean, I get it because, like, he produced the song and wrote the beginning and whatnot, but I'm just kind of like, it feels like it's De La Soul's song and you kind of just filled it in with imagery that doesn't work unless you're watching the video.
Also, who made the beat? Was that Danger Mouse?
I want to say it was Damon Albarn.
So he made all of it, but he just featured someone else more predominantly than himself on his own song.
I guess so.
That's kind of fucking cool.
It's kind of like DJ Khaled, except DJ Khaled doesn't really, it's not anything like DJ Khaled, actually.
I feel the same way about the song as when we started. I think it slaps. I think it falls apart in some spots, but I really admire how big they tried to be, you know? It was a big swing.
Yeah. Mm. I feel the same way, too. But I'm also trying to, I feel like this song was most exposed to me through, like, MTV, and it was like, there were parts of it that they played, and it was always like the first part, and then I'm like, it fades out, just goes into the rap, and then I've also heard, like, Watch Me As I Gravitate as, like, its own. I think that was, like, the 30-second clip whenever you, like, preview this on iTunes or something. But it's just kind of, like, so much of my memory of this song is, these lyrics don't make any sense, I feel like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Still a good, like, that fucking bass line's unbeatable.
That, the bass line, the rhythm, the thing that you liked, what was that?
The clap?
The beat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right, beat.
In
musician,
the,
you
in
say.
The industry, we use the word beat.
You have an album, you say?
No beats on it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know how to say it, so my producer didn't put any on.
Hey, can we get some of the,
you know, the
never
like,
mind.
It's like, and then it's like, and it's, like,
it's actually just a lot of shabba shaka shaka shabba shaka.
Shabba shaka shaka.
No beats, no metaphors.
So your theory is that the feel good is the chorus, but it only happens at the beginning and end of the song. What is the fucking structure of the song? It's like A B C D C D A.
Yeah, you might be right about that. I might not know anything anymore.
I think this podcast does that to your brain. By the time you're done, you're like, what is music?
I thought I knew the song. I realized I didn't. I wouldn't have said it was a rap song. I guess it is.
Yeah.
It kind of is. I mean, although I don't think that was mentioned.
This is the Jay-Z Linkin Park of its year, which was one year after Jay-Z Linkin Park.
Oh my God.
Collision Course walked so that this could walk slightly faster.
But can we even call the first part rock? And then there's the hook is like acoustic guitars.
Yeah, it is more like if Death Cab teamed up with like Ludacris. Which now that I'm saying it, I'm like,
fuck.
Oh, we gotta get them in a room together.
Two kinda still relevant has-beens.
There's a guy named Chris in Death Cab, so that's two Chris's.
Chris Walla left the band.
Oh, damn.
Listen, I was a big Death Cab stan. Sorry, I know too many people's names.
All right, we'll figure this out.
Okay, so that's the song. What could we possibly do to improve it, you ask? Well, answer, don't know.
Well, we were thinking about this song and looking at the lyrics to try and figure out what the hell this is, and we sort of came to the conclusion that, like I had mentioned earlier, this is kind of it feels like when you first watch The Matrix and you're a high schooler and you're just like, yeah, this is fucking revolution. Like, this, open your fucking brain. So we were like, it feels like it should be the kind of, like, this should be A, a movie, and B, this, if it's going to be a movie, it needs to have a trailer that uses this for song, but like slows it down in the way that all trailers do now.
Mm-hmm. So this also, I need to say, is a Patreon pick, which means we documented the entire process of making this song and we made it together.
Yes.
So should we play what we have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cannot wait.
In a broken city, ever since Feel Good Inc. took over this place, I just watched these zombies fill the streets. They think they're free. but they're damned.
Where nobody smiles.
In my dreams, there's this woman. I don't know who she is, but she's kissing me. Almost like we know each other.
That's what you see when you sleep?
I don't sleep. Not anymore. Not in this city.
Evil threatens the fate of humanity.
It's been a banner year for Feel Good, Inc. And with this new gravitator, we're not just gonna control the city. We're gonna control the entire world.
I have to stop this.
And only one man is hope for the future.
Hello? Is anyone here? I'm looking for a man named 2D.
Nobody's called me that in years. Who are you?
My name is Laura. I work at Feel Good Inc. And I need your help.
Wait a minute. I've seen you before.
What?
In my dreams. How did you know my name?
The captain just debuted a new machine and is going to use it to take over the entire town. We need to shut it down.
Well, then we're going to need a team. Russell.
What's up, man?
Murdoch.
Hello, old bean.
And of course, Noodle. Look, this plan doesn't work unless all of you guys are in. Is everybody in?
It's a bloody suicide mission. What's your plan?
I'm going to kill the ink.
DreamWorks presents...
Boom! Chocolate attack!
From the visionary director of Kung Fu Panda 2.
This isn't just about saving the city! This is about saving our love!
Yes.
Feel Good, Inc. Coming this fall to CISO. Rated PG-13 for violence, smoking, and brief scenes of animated but very sexual nudity.
Very sexual nudity.
And actually, this is from fall 2005, so can't get it anymore.
Can I just say, brilliant. I legitimately got chills when the bass line came in on that, like, stringy synth.
Oh, yeah.
And then that creepy little child feels good.
That was me.
When is the film coming out?
Unfortunately, it was on CISO.
And CISO doesn't exist anymore. We spent all our money on it, too.
Oh, too bad.
And we took it straight to CISO. There was no other competitors.
Basically, I made a arrangement of like what a trailer could sound like, and then I was like, here you go, Demi, make a trailer.
And then I made a big old like because I was like, all right, I'm gonna watch a bunch of dumb action trailers. All of them do this now, by the way.
What's so funny is the thing I sent you, I thought I already did that, but then when you did it again, I was like, oh, I guess I didn't go quite hard enough. And the second I heard, I was like, you're right, it needed to be so much harder because trailers now want to like blow up the speakers?
Oh, yeah. They want you to be like, damn, I have never heard...
sound before.
What a wonderful world like this before. Anyway.
I think it's your best work yet.
Oh, thank you.
The sound design, impeccable.
I want to see this movie.
Right?
I want to see it so bad.
Hey, ooh, girls, it's get in touch.
Like Pussycat Dolls.
Yes.
No, that's a band.
Pussycat. What are you? Josie and the Pussycats.
Josie and the Pussycats is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah, like that is Feels Good, Inc.
Feel good.
God damn.
No, the subliminal messaging for your single is amazing. I think you're really embodying the spirit of the song.
Feels good.
Feel Good, Inc.
Feel Good, Inc. And they do put subliminal. Well, no. Uh-huh.
You got my disease. You have my disease.
Ephemeral.
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 Yep.
Oh, God. They put the messages in the songs and people all, that really, it like turned that, the Pussycat, Josie and the Pussycat Dolls into like more of a horror film,
right.
And that is the trailer for it.
Okay.
You actually are making a great point.
Yeah, I
forgot
you just
that
meant,
it was so sinister, the plot of that movie.
Yeah.
I thought that you just meant like, oh yeah, because gorillas are a fake band and so are, and I was like, yeah, sure.
No, the plot of Josie and the Pussycats is, first of all, amazing
movie. Underrated.
Yeah. And they like just mind control everyone into buying things and... They like don't go nearly as disturbing as it could go because it's a kids movie,
right?
But this trailer,
right,
could go all the way to.
Well, it is PG-13,
but there is some very sexy cartoon sex,
very sexual nudity.
You could. We wrote the scene, but we're not making the movie.
I drew the scene, and I drew it years ago.
It's a still image.
No, this one's
get to subscribe to our Patreon.
It's a few images.
Well,
yeah, I've been busy.
I think we fixed it.
Yeah,
it didn't need fixing, but it was fixed nonetheless. You're welcome.
Well, now let's go to something that can't be fixed. Our Unpunchable Jams.
You can't punch this.
Julia?
Yes,
Julia.
Would you like to suggest a song that you consider unpunchable, aka just a song that you think is perfect, or you just like just heard this song and I love it?
A song that I think is perfect is Love on Top by Beyonce. Has it been mentioned?
Don't remember.
No, it hasn't. I think Crazy in Love is in there, but Love on Top is not.
Yeah, I don't think we have that one.
There's many Beyonce songs that I could say it about, but wow, Love on Top.
The way it just keeps modulating.
Yeah.
Up, that one's a fun and up, one and up, and to up, do. And up. Like, if you have friends and you're just like, someone's playing it and you're just like, can you keep going? Just fucking scream as loud as you can.
Yeah.
It's really.
Anytime I've seen someone try that at karaoke, I'm always like, here we go.
Oh no.
What's going
to
happen?
My friend Sharia, shout out to her, has fucking nailed it.
And she can like, sing that high?
Oh yeah.
Holy
And like she
shit.
Picked it and I was like, oh, bold choice. And then she did it and I was like, no. Comfortable choice.
Dang.
Yeah.
Is that her job to sing?
No.
Well, fuck.
Wow. Right?
That's incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
I kind of want to make a cracked out version of that song where it just never stops modulating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the point that it's like dogs can only hear it.
That is forthcoming, I hope.
Is that on your record? Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
Julia!
<Let's go>!
I cannot believe Ooh. You can make that noise.
I am Ariana Grande.
Ariana
Did I forget
Grande
to mention?
Who? Dun, 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 that counts. Dun, dun, dun. That counts as a whistle tone.
Thank you.
It's okay. Marissa is crying, single tears shutting down her face. Demi, do you want to go next?
Sure. I'm just going to pick a song I heard recently and have not stopped listening to. It's Flower Moon by Vampire Weekend off the new album.
Whoa.
Fucking rules.
It was the night we crashed and another chapter was underway. Another year in the light of the flower.
Steve Lacy from the internet is on it. He's on two songs on that album. That album's very good, by the way. But yeah, it's just a very good song that starts in a very simple way, and you think it's like, okay, nice little acoustic thing, and then it like kicks in and feels like it's the kind of song that like you and a bunch of friends dance to along around a campfire. I'm like, okay, this is a summer jam.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love it. Flower Moon.
My turn?
Yes.
Demi, I want to pull an audible, but I'm scared the song I want to change it to has already been on the playlist.
What song?
Song 2 by Blur.
I don't think it's been on there.
It's not on there, right?
No. Okay. I don't remember anyone picking it.
Then fuck everyone. I'm doing Song 2 by Blur.
Woohoo!
Why? Because, yes, everyone knows it. No one's going to get a treat out of this one. Sorry. But it's obviously the same fucking front man, so yeah. That's the connection. And I fucking never stopped thinking about this song.
You should get your head checked.
Like a jumbo jet.
Exactly.
Lyrics. Okay, let's not talk with the lyrics, okay? Unpunchable. Great. Fantastic. Never has not been on my playlist. It makes me feel so fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
I want to fight. I want to drive. I want to scream. I want to kiss. I want to do everything to this song.
Yeah.
You know the song, right?
No.
Woo!
And I feel nothing at all.
Woo!
I just think it's so cool the way it slams back into the verse on like an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
That was a good woohoo.
Thank you.
The tone was perfect.
Yeah, I lost the role of the Vonage guy. Fucking bummer. Yeah, don't rub it in my face, Miel.
Every time I do anything that I think of as kind of epic in my daily life, in my head, I hear woohoo.
Yeah.
Every time. If I like, every time I get on the freeway. Every single time.
Oh my nice. God.
I get on and get off the exit ramp, on ramp, and I'm like, woohoo!
I feel like that's always when I feel that way about a song, and I'm like, I'm driving, and I turn on the ramp, and I just hear it, like, I feel it kicking, and I'm like, yeah, this is one of the songs, and I'm like, forever gonna be like, it rules.
Yeah.
Just that feeling of like,
absolutely.
It's actionable.
Honorable mention, Coffee and TV by Blur also has a fucking fantastic music video that moves me deeply.
Is that the one that's like, boys who like girls?
No,
that's
boys like girls or whatever. Mm. This is the one that's like, oh, give me coffee and TV. The video is all animated. It was so sick.
I remember the video because it's got that little tiny little milk carton that dances.
He falls in love with a strawberry milk carton.
Oh,
a little heteronormative. Interracial. But, well, what?
Strawberry.
I think it's supposed to be a girl milk.
Okay, you're bringing a lot of your preconceived notions of
They gave her eyelashes.
Okay, so that means she's a woman. Wow.
Only women can wear pink and have eyelashes?
It's really fucked up what you're saying.
I was saying it was heteronormative. I'm just saying that's what they were going for.
I was saying it's not heteronormative and it's interracial. I think it's a beautiful, queer, interracial relationship depicted in that film. And if you want to make it heterosexual, because she got eyelash, fine. You do that.
No, but actually,
Happy Pride Month,
even
everybody.
Even though we are kidding, you do make a good point that I erased women of color in my narrative.
I bet you the green M&M is a woman, too.
Cool.
Oh, my God. I'm sick of this. Julia, thank you for coming.
Julia, obviously you have a WoW coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want people to check out?
I probably just put out a music video.
Oh my God.
I think.
Wait, right. You don't know?
I'm pretty sure that it came out already by when you're hearing this.
And you know what? Look up Julia Nunes on YouTube.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great. It's called No Sudden Moves. And it's not heteronormative.
Thank you.
Hell yeah. You got a little strawberry person in there?
God, I'm in a bathtub with a strawberry.
Does it have eyelashes? That is essential.
It? Meow. Jesus Christ.
Cancel me! Just cancel me already! I can't wait anymore!
Put me out of my misery!
The pressure's too much!
That's that, like, the end of Watchmen's like, do it! Cancel me!
If you want to listen to us other places, we do a whole other podcast once a week on Patreon. You can listen to that at Punch of the Jam. Obviously, we have a behind-the-scenes video, and you can download our movie trailer.
Yeah, you can listen to our trailer and visualize your own
If
pictures.
You just want to listen to it in the car sometime.
Yeah.
Subscribe to Patreon for $7 a month.
Maybe put the Avengers trailer on your TV, mute the TV, and play this and see if it syncs up.
Yeah, honestly, any patrons out there want to make a trailer from this, please.
Oh, go
I
for
would
it.
Love to see them.
Yeah, we'll tweet all of them.
We actually will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, that was
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Hey.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.